we make mud pies, and dandelion was the topper, so.
Dandelion, I forgot to tell you, I use dandelion flowers in making cookies and muffins for the Rockwell Farms cooking show.
Yeah.
I see an offshoot coming soon.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, yeah, I think we could do that. I think Mark would go for it, too, if he got fed.
And they have some now that just flower, and they're beautiful. But yes. I also am a big thyme user medicinally. It helps calm a cough.
What is this? Like, oh, I got presents for you here. I got brought some snacks, and she brings us bags of redbud flowers. Good morning, Josiah with Rockwell Farms Garden Show. Thanks for joining us today. We really appreciate you viewing. Today we've got an awesome gig going on. Instead of being two nuts on a tree, we are now three nuts on a tree. Mark is out of town, so he's out there fishing. A little bit jealous and envious of him today. He's out there reeling in some brown trout. And so, Mark, we hope the best for you. But, you know, I've got two people that are a lot better to look at than Mark with me. So with me today, guest host on the show is Chris Parsons. Hey, Chris, how you doing?
Doing good this morning.
Awesome. And then also with me is the beautiful Nancy. Nancy has a lot of experience with herbs, which is the topic of our show today, is herbs, medicinal uses. My favorite topic, how to use them in food. I love that topic. That's always a wonderful thing to talk about for me. If you're listening to the show, you can't see me blushing. That's how I feel about food. So, yeah. Absolutely. So why don't we get into our comment section and then also our time to apply. And then we're going to get into the main body of the show.
Awesome. Cool. Yeah. You want me to go first?
Yeah. Why don't we get into the comment section?
All right, so we have Aubrey here, and she's saying she really enjoys the show. She says, I have clay in my yard but want to plant a cherry tree. What can I do to remedy this?
Ooh, okay.
So, yeah, we're here in Rockinsaw.
Yeah.
Clay and rocks. And so you do need to amend that soil with a cotton burr or some kind of like pine bark mulch to help break up that clay and aerate that soil.
Yeah.
You do have to remember that cherry trees don't like their feet wet, so clay really isn't good for them. So you're going to definitely have to do some amendment to that soil to make your cherries happy.
Yeah, I would like to add to that, planting them a little bit higher than normal. You know, typically the root ball, we plant it level with the ground around it, or maybe a little lower on your cherry trees if you have clay. Planting those maybe a few inches higher than the ground around it and building up around it would help a lot because totally right on the clay holds high water retention.
Drainage.
Yep. Yes.
All right. You going next? You want me to do both of mine?
Yeah, go ahead.
All right. And then I have Ray Stites, and it says, will you please do an episode on azaleas? Thanks. Yeah, we'll get to azaleas in the near future. Thank you, Ray, for giving us something else to do a podcast on.
Yeah, absolutely. If you're new to listening to the show, the comment section is basically it's all about you. And so we read your comments, or you can also email us in here at the show. You could by going to rockwellfarms.com. There's an area there where you can leave a question. That's where we get a lot of these. Or also from Facebook. We do read your comments and questions on Facebook. And also on YouTube. YouTube is a big one. We get a lot of comments on there, and we answer those as well. So if you have gardening questions, feel free to ask those, because that's what helps us get new content out to you, things that you would like to know about. It also helps other gardeners by us answering these questions for you, because you might have a question. There could be 100 other gardeners out there that are dealing with the same problem or something, so it does help them. I've got one. Excuse me. I've got one from Katrina. I have a borer beetle problem in my trees. I'm worried I'm going to lose my maple. What can I use for this to save my tree? Good question. Okay, well, to start, a borer beetle, let me get into that a little bit for those of you who are listening, don't know what that is. a borer beetle, or there's ash borer beetle. So it is a beetle that is pretty destructive to your trees. Okay. And what that beetle's going to do is it's going to come and lay eggs in the cracks and crevices of your bark. And those eggs are going to hatch. So then you have the life cycle. So you have egg, you have larvae, you have pupa, and then you have the adult beetle. And what that larva is going to do is it's going to burrow through the fresh green cambium of your trees right underneath the bark. Okay. And why that's so devastating is because your cambium, that's where all your most of your water and nutrients and sugars travel through the tree to get to the rest of the tree. Okay. And so it will eat through that and eventually kill your tree totally, totally dead. And so then they, as they come out, a clear sign of knowing if you have borers in your tree is when they come out, they're going to leave these little holes along your tree, and they're going to turn into a beetle. And then once they're a beetle, they're just going to mate, and it's just going to keep happening. And so what I would recommend to remedy that is there's a tree drench by Fertilome called Tree and Shrub Drench. It is a systemic insecticide that you're going to mix with water, pour around the canopy drip line of your tree. That's going to soak up through the roots and go into your tree through the cambium, and it's going to kill those. If you want to save your really beautiful tree, that's what I would recommend doing. I would also recommend using a fertilizer with that. And the reason being, because if the borers are doing damage, you're also going to need something to kind of combat that damage and kind of help your tree regenerate, fill out. So do fertilize your tree when you're doing that. That will help tremendously. So
yeah, let us know before you get there if you start seeing those signs. We don't want to lose trees. So
yeah, absolutely.
We can help you out here at the nursery. I get a lot of pictures of those little holes.
Yeah.
Trunks.
What is this?
I can help you. So
yeah, absolutely. Or they have like peeling, chippy bark in areas. So those are pretty clear signs that it could be a bore. Another one I've got is from Tony. Love the podcast. Well, thank you, Tony. Year after year battling Bermuda grass popping up in my fescue lawn. What can I use to kill the Bermuda and save the fescue? That's also another great question. So if it's in your lawn with fescue or zoysia and you have Bermuda popping up, we use it as a grass here, but in the West it's considered a weed.
Yeah.
And so it's a little bit funny, but it grows well and makes full lawn. I would use, there's a product by BioAdvance. It's just simply called Bermuda Killer. Not very attractive, but, it's called Bermuda Killer, and, you're going to spray this. It has a hose hookup attachment. You're going to hook this up to the hose. It mixes it for you. It's the beauty of, these newer products that are coming out. You have no measuring to do. But essentially, you're going to hook it up to your hose, and you're just going to go through your yard and spray. Now, keep in mind, this will yellow fescue a little bit. It won't kill your fescue. It'll leave it alone, but it will yellow it. Now, keep in mind, your fescue is pretty resilient. It will just regenerate. You'll get new green grass coming out of it. But it's one of the prices you pay for trying to get rid of Bermuda.
Yeah, it's hard to
get rid of. And then the last one I have, it's not a question, it's a comment. Ron Wood, this is from Facebook on our hydrangea video. If you want to go back, you can go into our last couple episodes where we talk about hydrangeas. But I believe this was a comment on the panicle hydrangeas. Lovely. I wish anything would grow at our apartment. Ron. If you're going to go for a hydrangea, definitely go for panicle or paniculata. It's the same thing, two different names. But those are a lot easier to grow and can tolerate a lot more sun, a little bit more drought tolerant as well. And so I would recommend going for those.
Nice.
Yeah, that concludes our comment section. And why don't we get into our time to apply?
Okay.
I love that. Oh, yeah, that's pretty good, huh? Time to apply Crown Jewels Royal Gold. They're the crown jewel of organic fertilizers. We have really grown to love Crown Jewels fertilizers. These people, they understand that there's different stages of growth in your plants, from vegetative growth to bloom cycle and bloom growth, and then also just a finisher. And so they've got grow, which is great for getting that good vegetative growth. I would be using that now in the garden. That's going to really help things to bush out, from lettuces to cucumbers, tomatoes. If your tomatoes and peppers are already started, you want to wait for those to get a little bit taller, around 4 to 6 inches, then apply. They have their bloom. Their bloom is amazing because it's going to really help push everything to go into bloom. If you don't have blooms, you will not get fruit. So you want to keep that in mind. Also, they're high in calcium. Calcium is important so you don't get flower fall. It's also important so you don't get blossom end rot. Mm-hmm. And it's also important because you have better tasting fruit when there's higher calcium in your dirt. So you want to make sure that you're getting that. And then they have the Imperial Boost. The Imperial Boost is what I like to call their finisher. It's high in phosphorus and potassium. And what that will do is it's going to help with better root growth and also for more blooming. I like to use that kind of towards the end of the season when my garden's starting to pucker out a little bit. It's really going to get it that boost that it needs to ramp right up and keep producing food for you. And then they also just came out with the final one, the all-purpose fertilizer. It's a 5-5-5. This is great for all areas. If you're not sure what to put in there, it's a great organic fertilizer for all-purpose. You can use this on anything. In fact, we use it on anything.
Yeah.
And so great fertilizers. Also time to apply Weed-Free Zone out in your yard right now as a post-emergent. It's going to kill what's there in your yard. Weed-Free Zone works great with nighttime cooler temperatures. It's probably one of the only things that's going to work right now. And then we also have Tree and Shrub Food by Fertilome. Tree and Shrub Food, it's a great fertilizer, all-purpose slow-release fertilizer that you can throw on your shrubs, from flowering shrubs to beautiful evergreens to tall trees, shade trees, all sorts of trees.
Everything.
It's a great fertilizer, and it's slow-release. So if you're a lazy gardener like most of us and you don't want to fiddle with it much anymore, just throw some of that on there. And then we have the Tree and Shrub Drench. We actually just talked about this, but your Tree and Shrub Drench is a great time right now to be applying this to your trees if you're dealing with borers, or you want to be a preventative. You only have to do this once a year. This is going to keep those borers out of your beautiful trees so that you don't have problems with them later. That concludes our time to apply. Herbs. Man, I'm so excited for this part. I've been waiting for it. Herbs. So I want to know, here's where I'm at. Okay. I'm just going to be transparent. Herbs is not my strong point. Okay. So I'm relying on the both of you to help me out in this area, because herbs is not my strong point. I'm good with shrubs, trees, flowers, those sort of things. But I know that herbs can also be shrubs, trees, and flowers. So I'm fully relying on the both of you today, to tell me what you have. First I want to start out with, what are some of y'all's favorite herbs? I know that both of you have grown herbs for quite some time. Nancy, you have been growing herbs and using them a lot because you have, why don't you tell us a little bit about your background real quick?
Okay. I'm just a amateur gardener that I love gardening.
Yes.
And, you know, I know what I know and I don't know what I don't know.
So sure, yeah.
That's why I come here.
Yeah.
So you can tell me what I don't know so I can know it.
But you have pretty good experience with herbs.
I do.
Yes.
I love growing herbs because I love to use them both in culinary and medicinal.
Mm-hmm.
So I have experimented this last year, with Chinese celery. Have you ever heard of that? It is pink.
Yeah.
It's pink celery.
Pink celery.
It is. It's something I got a packet of seed and I thought.
That sounds like a Baker Creek variety, is it?
It is.
Oh, how did I know that?
Yes. So I had no idea what it would do, what it would taste like, how it would apply in our food. But I started it last year mm-hmm. and it's still growing.
Wow.
It made it through the whole winter. I have it in my hoop house.
Yeah.
And it made it through the cold. It's still pink.
Amazing.
The stems are pink, but the leaves are green. So it's just beautiful.
Very awesome. Cool.
And it tastes so good. The stalks are not as thick as your typical green celery stalks. They're very thin. Even some of them are as small as my little finger.
What about fibery? Because I have grown some celery and it was very fibery. Yes. How can I remedy that? Or is it something that I just can't do anything about?
Well, celery is known for its fiber. It's insoluble fiber.
Okay, yeah.
So it's good for you.
Yeah, you can floss your teeth and eat.
Yes, that's right. That's probably true. But the pink celery doesn't have that long stringy type fiber to it.
Yeah.
So I can just chop it up and put it in my food.
Yeah.
It's
okay.
Awesome.
That's good. I love the taste of celery in all sorts of soups, salads, everything. Chris, you have a background in herbs just because you're just a good old hippie, aren't you?
I am definitely a hippie girl. I've been growing herbs since my children were little and always had extensive herb gardens because I also bake and cook a lot. And a lot of my culinary experiences were from when my children were young and trying to feed them in a lot better, healthier manner. So I was also in Alaska, so that was a challenge with herbs as well.
Goodness,
the growing
I'm sure.
season was a lot different. But I'm definitely an herbalist, not only eating wise, but medicinally as well.
Yeah, I can't count the times that I come into work and I've maybe got a slight headache or something or some sort of small ailment. And Chris is going, well, you should try this or Moringa or you know what I'm saying? So, yeah, totally appreciate that. And also you as well, Nancy, we've had some good conversations out here by the cashier hutch about herbs and what we can use and stuff. So, what I would like to do is just kind of hear from both of you on some of your favorite herbs, maybe some medicinal properties or values that they have, or again, my favorite portion, what foods they go in. So why don't we hear from the both of you?
Okay.
Go ahead, Nancy.
One of my favorite ones that I love this time of year, and I just love to see it bloom, is dandelions.
Oh, yeah.
Dandelions. Yeah. You can use everything.
I know, yeah.
The flowers, the stems, the leaves, the roots. Everything has a purpose.
Okay,
And everything is edible.
And it grows everywhere. Isn't something you have to buy at your garden center because
right.
it grows everywhere. And actually, we were talking about Baker Creek. I saw they had a pink dandelion.
Yes,
I grew heirloom that last seed. Year. Okay, you grew it.
I did.
Okay.
And it was beautiful.
Oh, awesome.
That's lovely.
Yeah.
But right now I've got all the yellow ones growing they're in the hoop house, outside the hoop house, in the yard. I mean, they're everywhere.
Now, dandelion is a close relative of lettuce.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. I do know that.
So, you know, the Bible talks about the bitter herb as being so good for us. It's cleansing.
Sure.
The bitter herbs were used throughout the Bible, and the dandelion is a bitter herb. So we need to eat more.
It is bitter. I can't count the times I can remember as a kid going out and eating. Well, we make mud pies, and dandelion was the topper. So,
well, they're pretty too.
Yeah,
but you can modify that sharpness of the leaves by adding some kind of sweetness to it.
Sure,
you know, like a sweet dressing or orange or
honey,
mandarin. Yes.
Yeah,
honey.
Okay. Yeah,
you can put honey on everything. Yeah. But with the dandelions, I'll go out and gather a handful of flowers and just bring it inside, make tea with it, and add honey and lemon to that.
Yeah, when I was a kid, we used to take dandelions and we'd rub them on us really hard because our skin would turn yellow, and we thought that was so cool.
Well, the leaves are really high in iron, and they're very good for the liver to cleanse. They're a good liver cleanser. The roots you can dig up and use that, roast them, clean them off, roast them, and make coffee out of it.
No kidding.
Yes.
Okay. Now we're talking my language. Yeah.
And it's
okay.
good for you.
Oh, good. Yeah. Much better than all that high caffeine, I'm sure. Yeah.
No caffeine. No poison.
Yeah.
No toxins. Yeah. No, it's God's coffee.
Yeah. There you go.
All right. Yeah. That's a really good one. I love the dandelion. Another one that I love. I enjoy foraging.
Yeah.
I love walking through the yard seeing what I have. And I tell you, God has provided so many different varieties of herbs growing out.
Just out there in your yard. And we don't even realize a lot of the time that we may be stepping on valuable food.
That's right.
And these are good things to know because, you know, I think everybody, I think there was a study that went out that 73% of people believe that something crazy is going to happen within the next couple of years. Yeah. So it is important to know what is, what's food. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And what's just out there in your yard.
So an interesting thing about herbs is herbs include a wide compass of foods. Mm-hmm. Vegetables. There's some vegetables that we look at as vegetables, but they're really herbs.
Yeah.
And I looked up in the Bible to see, you know, how the herbs were used. And there are so many different translations for the word herb. It could be grasses. It could be vegetables. It could be pot herbs. It could be just about anything that grows from the ground, which is what God gave to eat.
One of my favorite out of the grasses is lemongrass.
Oh, yes.
Oh, my goodness. Lemongrass. So that one, love it. Now, a trend came out with the lemongrass that people were putting it in pots and putting it along their deck because it was giving them privacy and it was beneficial because it's a pest deterrent for mosquitoes. What was the other one? Well, of course, you can cook with it and all sorts of stuff.
It makes wonderful tea, and it also is great flavoring in Asian stir fry.
Yeah, kind of zesty.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it smells so good.
Oh, yeah. Goodness, yeah.
I love it.
Go out and cut some of that fresh aroma. Yeah.
So there's other things that are growing now in the garden. That's purslane.
Yes.
Purslane is awesome. It's a succulent type herb.
Yeah.
And it can be used in tea, in salad. You can cook it. You can eat it raw. And it's got a nice flavor. It's not a bit.
Now, we sell that here, but oftentimes it will go to seed and we'll have it grown all over the place. And now there is a wild variety that grows as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's what I gather. My yard, I live on on the mountain in Garfield. We don't have soil unless we bring it in.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like most places here in NWA.
What did you call it? Rock and
Saw?
Rock and
Saw.
I love it. That is great. I love that.
That is good, yeah.
I'm going to steal that from you.
You can do that.
But purslane is one that it just grows everywhere, like you said, and it'll pop up. Mm-hmm. I tried growing it in a pot, and it was so much better out in the wild than it was in my pot. So it kind of takes care of itself,
yeah.
Really. But it's good. It's high in iron and chlorophyll. The nitrogen that's in there is just awesome for you, and it's really good in salads.
Yeah, that's good. I know that iron is also, if you have problem with dark spots under your eyes, I hear people going, iron, 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 iron. Is that true?
I haven't heard that.
Oh, really?
No.
Okay, maybe. If you're out there listening, maybe you can correct that. I would love to know that. Put that in the comments.
I know the white spots on your fingernails show a lack of calcium.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
You heard that?
I have not heard that.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So. This is why it's so important to know what you're eating. And if you are eating it, especially gardening and growing herbs and those things. Herbs, the main purpose, I believe, for herbs is to make us healthy and for things to taste good, but also for your health. So if you're doing that, why add in and not be organic in your gardening? Which is why I love to let people know what you're putting in your food and using to feed your food, you're using to feed you.
You are what you eat.
Yeah, you are what you eat. And it brings so much more life to that. Being in the garden, you know, if you wanted to go and use harsh chemicals on your food, then just go to the box store and get your food. Mm-hmm. You know, why even grow it? You know,
it tastes so much better when it's organic.
Oh my goodness. Yes. There's a stark difference. You know, my wife and I, we don't even go and buy tomatoes at the store.
Oh, no.
It's like waiting for Christmas when you get your first tomatoes. You know what I'm saying? Because
well,
it's
more Franken food.
Yeah. And it just tastes so good. Oh, sorry about that. Here we go. Technical difficulty, mic failure. Okay.
I was going to eat the mic.
Chris, what are some of the herbs that you really favor?
I use a lot of herbs medicinally and topically.
Sure.
So there's a lot of them that are good for your skin, not only just on the inside for ingestion, but on the outside as well. So in this world of, you know, beauty products and all of us trying to stay younger and better looking, I have been using herbs for a long time, just topically on my skin. So, you know, calendula for, you know, aging skin and drier skin. I have used garlic for antibiotics for a million years. That's probably Josiah.
I hear
having
that
having a sinus
lot.
Infection and yeah. saying, take your garlic.
Yeah, you have.
You know, and yeah, all of my kids know when it's cold season, the garlic comes out.
Yeah.
So rosemary for my hair. I have curly hair, but it's fine, and it gets greasy, but it's frizzy. And so I've been making my own like hair tinctures and things like that now, for a long time.
Now I want to camp on that rosemary, mm-hmm. rosemary. Cause when I think of rosemary, I think of just the plant but the first thing that comes to mind is the smell,
the savory,
the savory smell of rosemary and using it in soups or bases or
roasted potatoes.
Yeah. Goodness. Yeah.
No, I love eating rosemary, but I also use it a lot in my beauty routine. I actually make my own conditioner because conditioners are full of all kinds of things. And I use rosemary oil, and you can also make a spray just by boiling rosemary and putting it in a spray bottle and spraying your hair with it.
Really?
Yeah. So really good for those kinds of.
So does it make it a little bit oily then?
No, it doesn't. Surprisingly enough.
Really?
I already have fairly fine and kind of oily hair. But it does kind of tame my frizz, and it helps it grow. Like my hair grows extremely fast.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
So it just helps it grow, and I always have pretty healthy curls, even though I'm in this wind and dirt out here at the nursery all day long. And I have it wrapped up in a bun. You know, it keeps it healthy, and I don't have all those chemicals hanging out in my hair all day.
Now back to garlic. What are some things that I need to know about garlic?
It is the most important herb there is.
I agree.
Okay, so I think this is a conversation Chris and I have had that we probably couldn't live without garlic or onions in any one of our meals. garlic or onions.
You know, it's interesting because when the children of Israel left Egypt and they were going out into their feast and they were trying to find a way to Canaan, the one thing that they missed was their leeks and their garlic.
Leeks. Yeah, leeks are a good
Oh, man. Yeah.
Yeah. They wanted to go back to Egypt just to get leeks and garlic.
And garlic. Oh, man.
makes my mouth water just thinking about it.
I hate to say that would be a rough one for me as well.
How do you flavor food if you don't eat garlic or use garlic?
Yeah, I use garlic, whether it's powder form, whole garlic or minced garlic. I use garlic in a lot of things.
Yeah.
And like the minced garlic, whether you make it your own or just buy from the store, I love the oil that's in it. Mm-hmm. And I will just take that and just drizzle it over food or bread, you know, love that.
Yeah. We make infused oil with the garlic and the rosemary.
Make your own, yeah.
Now, what is garlic? What's a benefit that from garlic that we get?
You get the allicin in garlic.
Yeah, and it's antifungal and antiseptics, which totally makes it good for, you know, anything you ingest. It's going to take care of, you know, certain kinds of parasites and any kind of bacteria,
viruses.
It just
vampires.
Vampires.
I've kept them away for a long time.
Yeah, I've never seen a vampire. I must eat plenty of garlic. So it just is Mother Nature's encompassing good thing that you can take every day.
That's great. What are some more herbs that I need to know about?
Well, one of the things that I like is kale. Kale is
good. Ooh, I can dig kale.
Eat some kale.
Yeah.
Yeah. Kale is the king of all greens because it's so loaded with chlorophyll and nutrients and iron, and it helps to digest. It helps to get rid of the acids in your stomach when you eat it.
Yeah, I do like kale with a good vinaigrette.
Yeah, for sure.
Balsamic.
Cooked. Oh, the one thing I was going to say about the garlic is garlic and onions, too. Mm-hmm. I make rocket fuel in the wintertime.
Awesome.
You ever made that?
Yes, I have.
Okay.
Rocket fuel. Fill me in.
Rocket fuel is one of my best remedies to use for when you start coming down with the flu or a cold or respiratory conditions. It is loaded with all those good antimicrobial nutrients. And in rocket fuel, I'll use garlic and onion, two foundational things, citrus, such as orange, lemon, and grapefruit. And then I'll add fresh ginger and cayenne, because cayenne helps to push it through the bloodstream.
Yeah.
And
light you up.
Yeah, it'll warm you up. Yeah, it's a warming herb. So I put all that in the blender and blend it up, and either strain it or not, I don't, and just drink an ounce every hour of the rocket fuel, and it's amazing the boost that it gives your immune system.
Wow.
It's powerful stuff.
Wow, that's amazing.
Nature's antibiotic.
For sure.
That's awesome. Okay, what about one of my favorites on, you know, tacos and stuff is cilantro. Mm. What about cilantro?
It's a heavy metal detoxifier.
Really?
Yes.
So like, let me throw this out there, because this has been a thing that's popped up, is like aluminum in your deodorants.
Yuff.
Like that kind of thing?
Don't use it.
No. Oh, okay.
Don't use deodorant with aluminum.
I'll have to come up with an alternative. Alternative for that. So I'll get with you after the show on that. Okay. Yeah. Or else I'm suffering, and mostly people around me are suffering if I don't use it.
No, but aluminum is just horrible for our system. It gets into our blood system and it toxifies us. So you want to avoid aluminum with all costs.
Now, cilantro is kind of a funny thing, because I know some people, they get the cilantro flavor that I get. And to some people, they say it tastes like soap. Yeah.
Depends on how you use it. I'll make a cilantro pesto that is.
Oh, yeah. Fabulous.
And you can mix cilantro with basil, which combines those flavors. And it's really a good combination. As a foundation, I'll use walnuts and pumpkin seeds and garlic, of course, and the cilantro and basil. Mm-hmm. And I'll add, for more nutrients and minerals, I'll add some kelp or some kind of seaweed.
Ooh, yeah.
And some flax oil, mm-hmm, to really bring it all together and put it in the food processor.
Yeah.
And put that on top of potatoes or crackers or bread, or just eat it with a spoon. It's really good.
Yeah.
And it's a highly effective antibiotic also. Because I put lots of garlic in there.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, yeah.
And green onion.
Well, okay. Now that leads me to basil, because I have a question about basil. I get questioned all the time about how do I grow a healthy basil? What am I doing wrong with my basil? And I think Chris, you have had this problem before.
What most people have problems with herbs is that most herbs do not like wet feet. They need good drainage. Mm. And of course, up here we're in clay. And so in starting your herbs and growing your herbs, the only herb that really needs excessive water is any kind of mint. And so you definitely really need to make sure that you have that drainage, or they're going to suffer. And then, you know, it gets hot here as well. So when you're watering your herbs and when you're harvesting your herbs, makes a difference as well. You want to get those shoots that are tender in the morning before that sun hits them. And you also want to water them that way as well.
Okay. So what I'm probably doing, because I have suffered with growing basil, it was maybe way too much watering and not having enough drainage in the dirt. A common thing that I also see is, you know, because people want to grow basil indoors. They want to grow it on their windowsill in the kitchen or on a kitchen counter. Usually the problem I see with that, because this makes sense now to me now that we're talking about it. Usually the problem that I see with that is if it's in an indoor pot, there's usually not great drainage.
Right.
And there could be sitting water.
Right sunlight. Most people don't realize that through windows, if a plant needs indirect sunlight in your house, that is in the window. So what most people do is remove that plant to a different part of the house. When definitely you're putting them in darkness, you're really not putting them in indirect light. So through a window, if a plant needs indirect light, it's in the window. And so a lot of times it's about the light source.
Okay. Usually that's like the number one common problem is light source for all plants. It's the number one thing, remedy that, and watering, overwatering or underwatering. Those I would say are the number two or the most two questions, resolutions that I face, or problems that we
watering
come up
comes
with solutions
up always
for
here in the greenhouse.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I mean, how do I water that? How often do I water that? And there's so much of watering that is environmental.
Oregano. I need to know.
Oregano is invasive. Yeah. I planted one little plant, and it's everywhere.
But it smells so good. Is that not a good thing?
No, it's a
good thing.
You
love it.
I love it.
Okay.
I do. I love it. So the one thing I learned about oregano last year, because we just put our hoop houses up for the first time last year, and this has been a tremendous experiment for us, learning how to grow undercover, we learned that oregano is one of the best attractions for cultivators. When it was blooming, it attracted all kinds of bees and butterflies.
Yeah.
It was a great herb to put into the garden to attract cultivators.
Wow. Pollinator friendly.
Pollinators.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There are so many herbs that are pollinator friendly. I mean,
lavender.
Yes.
Put them in your gardens for sure. Flowers.
Now, I want to start off lavender. I'm in love with lavender because it's super low maintenance because it doesn't want a whole lot of watering. This one I do have a little background with. Lavender, man, it's a great companion plant, but it can be used for so many things. It's calming, can be used for essential oils. Tell me a little bit about lavender, some things that I need to know or the listeners need to know.
Oh, go ahead.
Okay. lavender is something I love to use in baking. Mm-hmm. You can use it in cookies because all the leaves are, the petals are edible.
Yeah.
Like dandelion. Yeah. Oh, dandelion. I forgot to tell you, I use dandelion flowers in making cookies and muffins.
Oh, nice.
And they are so pretty. I'll make a dandelion shortbread cookie. And,
really?
And you see all this yellow and green in the cookie, and it's just beautiful, and it has a wonderful honey flavor to it.
Cool.
Well, with lavender, you can do the same thing. And I do it also with the crepe myrtle flowers.
Kidding.
Yes.
Wow.
They're out now blooming at our place, and I just go through and grab a handful of the crepe myrtle flowers and eat them. They're yummy.
Wow.
You do the same thing with redbud flowers. They're actually really high in vitamin C. So if you're looking for flowers on your trees that are edible, you can also make a honey syrup with them for your trees as well.
I learned that about the redbud because we had this little tiny gal, her name was Sarah, that worked here years back. And she was a solid hippie. Okay. So she brought up a bag of redbud flowers to give us as snacks. And we thought, what is this? I got presents for you here. I brought some snacks. And she brings us bags of redbud flowers. Okay. And I thought, what is this? And I thought, what am I supposed to do with this? I can't eat this. Well, sure enough, she goes, well, there, if you focus on the flavor, there's a sweetness to them.
Yes.
And so sure enough, it tasted, of course, earthy and florally, but there was a slight kind of honeysuckle sweetness to them. And I was blown away. And she said, you put them in salads, you can put them, you can do all sorts of things with them and use them as an herb, which is pretty interesting.
So many flowers are edible that people don't even think about it. The petunias and the pansies that you've got growing around.
Pansies for sure.
Yes.
Yeah.
And violets are also.
I love starting our color bowls here. I call them edible bowls so that we can put those flowers that are edible in with the herbs when my herbs come in so that you can just come in and kind of pick up a pot and take it home and you can go pick your own edibles out of your bowl that's on your porch.
Yeah. Last year I was pairing strawberries with different flowers and it was so cool because in the hanging basket, those strawberries are just hanging over the side, but then you have flowers filling in through them. It was awesome. It attracted more pollinators for strawberries and it was great. Awesome. What about, maybe we hadn't talked about parsley yet.
No, we haven't. Parsley is a wonderful herb to be used in cooking. I also use that in my pâtés and when I make it, and pestos. I'll use parsley and cilantro together. Sometimes I'll add basil with it and do the same thing with the walnuts and the pumpkin seeds for the foundation that gives you your protein. Then you do lots of the garlic and the green onions in there and the kelp. And it just makes a wonderful spread
Yeah, I love parsley. I'm one of those that back in the day when you went out to a restaurant, there was always a little piece of parsley on your plate. And so I always ate it when I was a kid. And everybody was like, how can you eat that? So I would always get a whole plate of parsley.
Well, do you know why they put it on the plate?
It helps with your digestion and it helps with your breath.
Yes, it's the breath thing. Yeah. It says if you have a garlicky food, then you eat the parsley afterwards and it just sort of mask that garlic.
No kidding.
That's so I grew up
eating. I need way more parsley then.
Another one that I like is comfrey.
Oh, yeah.
Comfrey is called knit bone in a medicinal way. Comfrey can be used to help speed up the healing of a broken bone or abrasions.
No kidding.
Yes, it's awesome. The Indians used it all throughout their years here roaming the earth. And they, whenever you break a bone, you make a paste of the comfrey or poultice, put it on, and it actually will speed up the healing of those bones.
Wow.
It's pretty impressive stuff. And the flowers are beautiful. I love comfrey.
Comfrey.
And you can make a salve out of it. You can make a tincture out of it. Some people say you can eat it. Some say no. It just depends on where you get your source from. You make comfrey tea, as long as you don't take a lot of it, and use that as a help for digestion.
That's amazing. What about chamomile? Now, how do you pronounce chamomile?
Depends on where you're from.
Yeah.
Pecan, pecan.
Pecan, pecan.
It's still the same flower, no matter what you call it. Yeah. It all has the same medicinal purposes, no matter where you're from. Yeah, chamomile's a good one. You know, it's great for tea. You know, you can use it to cook. You know, with just like
now,
any flower.
Oftentimes when I see that, I also see it in like teas for like nighttime sleepy tea.
It's very cool.
Or also for cold, you know, teas and stuff like that. So what are some things that I need to know about chamomile?
Well, it's anti-inflammatory.
Ooh, okay.
So this is good.
Yeah.
And when you recognize that we work all day long and we move constantly, so we're constantly inflaming our body, especially if we eat bad food, we're going to inflame our body.
So it's a natural, is it safe to say it's a natural ibuprofen or Tylenol?
I don't know that it's a natural painkiller, but it is an anti-inflammatory, which ibuprofen is used for that
some.
But that's why you use it at nighttime, bedtime.
Add your ginger to it. That'll take care of your pain. If you do your chamomile and ginger, ginger helps a little more with that pain. And
ginger.
Lemon in it with it.
Yeah.
It's really good.
Now let's talk about ginger because I do like using ginger. Mm-hmm. I like using it in recipes, but I know it's got a lot of health benefits. So what are some of those benefits in ginger?
Well, ginger warms up your body. Mm-hmm. And so it does help with that inflammation, pain. It'll, you know, help with digestion. I mean, we've been using ginger just like we've been using garlic for a really long time. Mm-hmm. All of your Asian type herbs, they've been using ginger for a long time.
One of the benefits of ginger is it's not just anti-inflammatory, but it's also anti-car sickness.
Motion sickness.
Yes.
That's a big one.
And
or if you're on a boat for too long.
They'll use it for nausea for pregnant women, too, if you're going for a natural remedy.
Wow.
We went on a trip to California 1 year, and we invited some friends to go with us. Mm-hmm. And she told me, she says, okay, we'll go, but I have to sit in the passenger seat up front because I get car sick so bad. Mm-hmm. I said, okay, we'll remedy that.
So with your lollipops.
We went to the health food store, got several different kinds of ginger candy, ginger capsules. And I said, okay, well, let's try something for an experiment. Mm-hmm. And so she had ginger candy in the morning, took a capsule of ginger powder, and we went all the way to California, all the way back. She never had an incident of car sickness, and she read in the car, which she could never do before.
That's amazing. This is, I'm really enjoying the show right now because I'm learning a lot and I'm absorbing a lot. Now, ginger, a little free tip for you gardeners out there listening or watching. Ginger is so easy to grow. It really is so easy to grow. It's kind of a tuberous plant, kind of like a rhizome tube. Am I saying that right? And A great tip is if you find a nice organic one at the store or at Whole Foods or whatever, you can plant that ginger and it will grow for you. You can also break that ginger up into smaller pieces and it will generate new ginger root for you. Mm-hmm. And then for storing, now it's not as cold hardy for storing. You can actually just dig those rhizomes up, that ginger up, cut off the top, just store it in a dark dry place, and it will store perfectly fine for the next season.
Do you have to water it?
Huh?
Do you have to water it while
you're
storing it?
No, not at all. No, you just store it kind of like you would store potatoes or onions. Just store it and take it out the next season, break it up, plant it, and it will go to town again for you for the next year.
Well, let me tell you what we do with our ginger. I think this is kind of fun and neat tip for our listeners.
Yeah.
I buy a whole bunch of ginger root, bring it home, wash it, put it through the Champion juicer, and juice it.
Oh.
And then put that juice into ice cube trays.
Freeze it,
No kidding.
Stick that in the freezer.
Yeah.
And then after it's frozen, I'll pop them out, put them in a mason jar, and stick it in the freezer. And I've always got a tablespoon or two tablespoons of ginger.
Ginger ready to throw in something. Wow. Yeah,
awesome.
That's brilliant. Yeah. This is great.
So I use that in the rocket fuel as well. So, or tea. I'll just take a clump of ice cube and put it in there.
Okay, peppermint.
Oh, I love peppermint.
Yeah. Oh, okay. I like getting into the mints. Now, the producer, Jess, back here, she's listening. Me and her have had conversations about mint, how, you know, plant it once, enjoy it way too much forever.
Yes.
And so mint is in the family of purple dead nettle. So right now, spring, if you see all those little tiny purple flowers that are in your yard or in a field, you just see them growing everywhere. Purple dead nettle is actually in the mint family. And we know this because of the square stems. So you will know it's a mint in the mint family. You can roll the stem with your fingers and it's square. Mm-hmm. And so rather than rolling round, it's actually square. And so purple dead nettle, and it's edible. So this is growing something that's in your yard probably right now.
Yeah, it's coming up right now.
It is a cool temperature. It's considered an invasive weed. I don't consider it as an invasive weed. It is invasive, but I don't consider it as a problem. I thoroughly enjoy seeing a yard full of purple dead nettle.
And I have one.
Perfect.
I do.
It's coming up in my yard too.
Yep.
I'm going to harvest before I kill the weeds.
Yeah, definitely. It's one of the first things that's out for the pollinators.
Yes.
And so at our other property, when this was coming up in the spring, I would not mow. I would not do my first mow the time that other people were, because I was trying to be mindful of the pollinators. Now, not everybody is into that, and that's perfectly fine. But for myself, if I did have to mow, my wife would make fun of me because I would leave a green purple square in the yard for the bees.
I used to let the clover grow for the bees. We would just let them have it.
Oh yeah.
Peppermint is so good for indigestion, for gas, bloating. I'll take my peppermint, which I had one little plant last year. This year I've got just a cob of peppermint. But I'll grab a handful of it, bring it inside, make peppermint tea, and then put it in the refrigerator with honey and lemon and just keep iced tea.
Yeah,
always
that's how
ready.
I make my tea too.
Yeah.
I make my own.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, I like making sun tea.
Yeah.
Just throwing some mint and some tea into a jar, letting it sit outside in the sun for a few hours. Yeah, that's how we used to make it.
Yeah, and so, it's amazing the nutritional and the medicinal qualities in that peppermint that's in the water. So instead of just drinking plain water, then you're drinking nutrients.
Yeah.
And that's increasing.
And there's so many different kinds of mint people don't realize. Like there's
chocolate
mint and pineapple mint and
chocolate mint.
There's just so many varieties of mint that when you get tired of just your regular old mint or your spearmint or wintergreen or whatever you have, there's so many varieties that you can find nowadays that are.
Now, I have grown the pineapple mint, and it is true. It has like a sweet tinge of tropical smell to it and flavor to it. And so we use that quite a bit. And then there's like this mojito mint.
Yes, I haven't seen that one yet.
That one is a great one. That one's probably my favorite to throw in teas and or drinks, or people use it for cooking with, like your chocolate mint cookies.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's real good. Awesome. All right.
So let's see. We've had, stinging nettle.
You know what? Yeah, let's get into that, because we just talked about purple dead nettle. Mm-hmm. Now, stinging nettle, they're actually not related.
No.
So, yeah.
They're not, but they will sting.
I've been, yeah. I had this job in Bella Vista where I was planting some peach trees. A little backdrop story. Some peach trees up in Bella Vista. And the yard was not mowed, but there was stinging nettle everywhere. Yeah. And you know me, in the summer, I feel really weird if I'm not wearing shorts.
Yeah.
And so I was just, my legs were just, stung to high heavens. And I left that job and I got in my truck and I took a credit card and started scraping my legs to try and get those little stingers out. Oh, it was awful. Awful.
Yeah, but it is so nutritionally dense.
Wow.
I love to use stinging nettles. In the early spring, I will gather my leaves, use gloves when you gather your leaves with stinging nettles, and I'll gather them and I'll take them in the kitchen. I'll soak them in some hot water.
Mm-hmm.
Hot water deactivates those little hairs on the back of the leaves.
Really?
So it won't sting anymore.
So blanch them and then you can eat them.
Mm-hmm.
And what do you use it for?
I will make tea with it because it's a good antimicrobial. And it's also good for digestion. It's good for energy. It's got a lot of iron in it. Stinging nettle is a very valuable herb.
Kind of like spinach, a lot of iron in it.
Yes.
Now, what does it taste like?
It's kind of like a spinach, actually.
Really? Okay. Yeah,
Yeah. So I love to use the stinging nettle.
Wow.
Yeah,
wow.
You can put it in your salads. I like to cook it up in the pressure cooker.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, you get a lot of stinging nettle and you come up with this little cup full of
food. Course. Yeah, that's usually the way it is. Now, what about sage? Now, sage is a lot easier one for me to grow, because I like to use sage in a lot of cooking and whatnot. I put my foot back on there so it doesn't do that again. If you're listening, you can't see, the mic almost fell. And so
I almost ate it again.
Yeah. but sage is such a good one. I love that one. The Native Americans have used it a lot as remedies for things. Do y'all have anything on sage?
I have a sage bush.
Yes.
Started out with, it doesn't die. It lasted.
Very perennial. Yes.
Yeah, it lasted through the winter, through all that freezing cold that we had this year.
Wow.
And mine is just, it's in a 15-gallon grow bag.
Nice.
And it's completely filled it up and over. It's awesome. So I'll use the leaves when I'm making foods that need a sausage-like flavor.
Yeah. Okay. Yes.
It's Thanksgiving time.
Yeah.
I use my fresh sage.
Yeah. But, yeah. And the dressing.
For sure.
Yeah. And the dressing. Yeah.
But not only is it good for flavor, it's good medicinally. Sage is excellent for the respiratory system. So you can make sage tea with that and drink it, and it helps to reduce mucus.
Yeah.
It
helps you breathe better.
And it tastes good.
Yeah. Well, yes, it does taste good. I like a good sage hot sausage I do love the sage. I thoroughly enjoy the smell of sage, or there's sage candles. Just the smell of it for some reason is just amazing. So
cut it up and put it over veggies before you roast them in the oven.
Mix
the sage with rosemary. Yeah. It's really good.
I know we talked about rosemary, but one of the things that I like to do is get pesto, basil pesto, and roasting some baby red potatoes with cut in half Brussels sprouts, drizzling a little olive oil over that, and then taking the rosemary, once that's roasted, put it in a bowl with the pesto, mix it all up. It is so Good.
Yum.
Oh my goodness, it's so good.
We've infused the rosemary into our oil so that we'll use that and sprinkle it over the rosemary.
Hey, thanks for listening to the Rockwell Farms cooking show.
Yeah, it's lunchtime now. Yeah. We need to go find some.
Yeah, we're going to have to go eat and eat after this for sure. So awesome. How are we doing on time? Because I've kind of lost track on time.
7 minutes.
Okay.
All right. Speaking of that, let's talk about time. We haven't covered that yet.
Oh, good timing on that.
That's actually one of my favorites. I love just growing time.
Yeah.
The way it looks. I use it for everything. I like growing all the different varieties. Again, there's now new varieties of thyme out there. If you've got a rock or something, just stick it up against a rock and let that stuff crawl around.
No kidding. That creeping thyme.
That creeping thyme is amazing. And they have some now that just flower and they're beautiful. But yes. I also am a big thyme user medicinally. It helps calm a cough. And so when my babies were little, you know, and in Alaska, it was like cold season all the time. And so I would throw thyme in their hot cocoa and they didn't ever know it.
Oh, wow.
They probably still don't know it until they hear this podcast. but yeah, I would take the echinacea and the thyme and throw it all in their cocoa when they were out playing in the snow because there was just such a hard cold season there. But it does help with like that creepy, just really raspy cough.
Now, echinacea is a beautiful perennial native flower, but I would consider that one as an herb.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
It's considered.
The Native Americans used it because it's native here to North America. Mm-hmm. And so the Native Americans used it for years for ailments, for, I believe, respiratory problems, and also as antibacterial. Mm-hmm. Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So that one I would consider, but it's so beautiful. And there's so many new varieties. Proven Winners has some great varieties that they've come out with, but some beautiful varieties like double flowering. The echinacea is an awesome one. And along with like things like rudbeckia or the sunflower.
Any of the cone flowers.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, mustard.
Tell me about mustard. Mustard or mustard greens?
Mustard greens.
Yeah, okay.
They are another one that's kind of like the king of herbs.
Yeah.
Because they are so high in in iron, and they're antioxidant. They are a pungent herb, so it's a liver detox.
Wow.
Yeah.
Now, we have a whole bunch of mustard greens, exploding
like
in the hoop house in the back right now.
Ah.
So what is some things that I can use this for in meals?
Well, when I use mustard, I grow a lot of the greens in our hoop houses. So I'll take Swiss chard and mustard and
we have Swiss chard, yeah.
Kale and collards and we have several different kinds of varieties of each one. And I'll just get a great big bowl of all of the greens and put it into my iPot along with garlic and onion. Of course, you can't cook without garlic
darn
and onion.
Darn tootin'.
Yeah. Yep. And some either nama shoyu or soy sauce or some such seasoning.
Uh-huh.
And put that all in there with the greens and a little water. Instapot, 4 minutes. And
awesome.
It's all done.
Nice.
All done. It is awesome.
That's amazing.
Another part of the Rockwell Farms cooking show.
Yeah.
I see an offshoot coming soon.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll, I think we could do that. Yeah. I think Mark would go for it too if he got fed.
Sure.
Well, I think this has been so great. We've covered a lot of herbs today and practical uses that you can use for them. We will be fully stocked in herbs here coming up here at the nursery. But I really want to stress the point of being organic in the garden.
Amen.
For sure.
Whether it comes to organic pesticides, home remedies, we do have a great line of organic pesticides, things that are used from chrysanthemums, which is where, chrysanthemums, neem oils, those sorts of things. Spinosad is another organic pesticide. Things that you can use in the garden without filling your family and your body with chemicals, because what's the point of using healing foods if you're adding poisons to them?
Exactly.
Okay. So really want to stress that. And also using organic fertilizers, giving your plants organic foods. Organic fertilizers, I believe, are really important, especially if you're doing container or raised gardens,
for sure.
Because Those nutrients, for one, they're getting leached out every time you water. Okay. And they're getting exhausted by the plants that are there. When things are naturally planted outside, we still somewhat recommend fertilizer, but when they're planted in the ground naturally outside, the plant can kind of reach and use what it needs to. Okay. When it's in a pot or container or raised garden, it only has a limited space to use those nutrients. So by replenishing the dirt with things that are natural. The Royal Gold. Now, Royal Gold, you actually test trialed this for us.
I did.
Yeah. What are your honest thoughts?
I love that stuff.
Okay.
It was amazing because last year when I first tried it, mm-hmm. my plants weren't doing that well in the raised bed. This was my first time and they just didn't seem to be growing well. Their color wasn't as bright and green as I liked them. So I tried the Royal Gold. I put it down when my plants were small and it seemed like within 2 weeks, they were completely changed. They had done a complete reversal.
Yeah.
And they grew faster than the ones that I didn't put the Royal Gold on.
No kidding.
I did an experiment.
No kidding.
I did. I had two different boxes, beds, that I tried the Royal Gold on, and it was amazing. Then once they started blooming, I used the bloom, and it just burst out the flowers. It was just really good stuff. I was surprised.
Wow. We're not saying this to be a salesperson. It's kind of like if you know the cure to an ailment and you just want people to know about it. And so if you have healthy plants and they're getting the right nutrients, just like your body, if you're getting the right nutrients, you're more disease resistant, virus resistant. You know what I'm saying? And so when you're on the up and up, you're a lot healthier. And so if you're eating the right things, it's the same thing for your plants. If they're getting the right things, they're going to be more disease resistant, problem resistant, pest resistant. So those are great things to keep in mind.
Yeah, those pesky pests, if we could figure out.
Those pesky pests.
We could get rid of the bugs.
Yeah. Yes. We've got some things for you. Well, hey, Chris, thank you so much for joining me. Like I said, you're a lot better looking than Mark Rockwell. Easier to talk to.
I'll avow for that.
Mark's listening right now, I'm sure. Nancy, thank you so much for joining us on the show. We really, really appreciate you coming in. Hey, if you're out there, you can find us on anywhere you find a good podcast, Pandora, Amazon Music, Spotify, and a slew of other places. We're also on social media like X. Facebook, Instagram. And then, of course, the big one is YouTube. If you have gardening questions, please feel free to write us either in the comment section or you can go to rockwellfarms.com. We so appreciate you listening and joining us. We love you gardeners. We're all gardeners. Let's do this.
Yeah, come see me at the greenhouse.
All righty. We'll talk to you later.